Welcome into One-on-One with Joe O'Donnell, episode 10 coming your way, presented by Explore Minnesota. Find your true north at exploreminnesota.com. I am, of course, Joe O'Donnell. Hope the offseason is treating you all well. Wild fans, and wherever you may be tuning in from today, thank you for the support. You can find One-on-One with Joe O'Donnell on all of your podcast platforms. Of course, I encourage you to check out iowawild.com for the latest on the Iowa Wild, including the recent signing of Turner Ottenbright coming back on an AHL deal, as well as Trevin Kozlowski, the young goaltender who made his pro debut in the season finale last year with the Wild. He has also signed a contract to return to the organization. Big news within the organization as well, of course, with the Iowa Heartlanders, the Minnesota Wild's new ECHL affiliate. So again, all those details and information on becoming an Iowa Wild season ticket holder at iowawild.com. Great to be back with you with another fresh episode of One-on-One. And my guest today is JT Brown. He is brought to you by Fleet Farm, proudly serving the Midwest since 1955. But before we get to my interview with JT Brown, did want to touch on some news and notes. Tampa Bay Lightning are your Stanley Cup champions again. And I urge you to go back and listen to episode 2 of this fine podcast where I chatted with Derek Lalonde, Newsy Lalonde, who once upon a time was the Iowa Wild head coach, now a Tampa Bay Lightning assistant, and now a 2-time Stanley Cup champion. That was episode 2 from back last summer, just after they had won that epic 5-overtime game in the bubble, in the Stanley Cup playoff bubble from last year. But the Lightning have done it again. They have won back-to-back Stanley Cups. Hasn't been done since the Penguins pulled that off. Pat Maroon has now won 3 straight cups, St. Louis and 2 with Tampa. He becomes the first player to pull that off since way back in the 80s when the Islanders went on their run, that dynasty there with the New York Islanders. So congrats to the Lightning and former Iowa Wild head coach Derek Newsy Lalonde. Boy, what a team the Tampa Bay Lightning have become. They can win every different way. You want to play high scoring, run and gun, they can beat you 6-5. You need to lock it down, they can shut you out. And Andre Vasilevskiy, the Conn Smythe winner, well-deserved, 5 straight series that he essentially ended with a shutout win for his Tampa Bay Lightning. Tampa didn't lose back-to-back playoff games this playoff year, going back into the bubble, and they never even trailed in a series, really, I don't think, over the last 2 playoff seasons. So they were as dominant as we've seen in quite some time. The Lightning are your Stanley Cup champs again. The Minnesota Wild have announced that the Winter Classic has been reconfirmed. Of course, they were supposed to play the St. Louis Blues on New Year's Day this past season. That, of course, didn't occur with the NHL season not getting going due to COVID until after January 1. But the Minnesota Wild and St. Louis Blues will play on New Year's Day 2022 at Target Field in Minnesota. Should be a great atmosphere and well-deserved for the state of hockey. Don't forget, you got the expansion draft coming up on July 21st, the NHL entry draft coming up on July 23rd and 24th. Both will be here before you know it. And again, I encourage you to check out iowawild.com for all the latest news and content, including our Lights, Camera series, where so far I've had the pleasure to be joined by Mitchell Chafee, Connor Dewar, and Kaylin Addison each week. On Monday, there'll be a written piece by our own Ben Gisselson, and then on Wednesday at 5:30 Central Time, Facebook Live, where I'll chat and go through the standard questionnaire, if you will, with a different Iowa Wild player that's under contract for the coming season, somebody that's part of the Wild organization, I should say, and under contract for the upcoming season. So Mitchell Chafee, Connor Dewar, and Kaylin Addison in the can so far. You can check those out, and we'll have more coming on a weekly basis, again, on the Iowa Wild Facebook page, Facebook Live, Wednesday nights at 5:30 Central Time. And of course, all kinds of information on our social media channels and iowawild.com. Again, our thanks to Explore Minnesota for bringing you another episode of One-on-One with Joe O'Donnell. And without further ado, here's my conversation with JT Brown, where we'll talk about playing in Sweden last year, his decision to retire, his new job as the television analyst with the expansion Seattle Kraken, his time in Tampa Bay with the Lightning, family life, his competitive gaming on Twitch, and a whole lot more. Hope you enjoy this conversation with the Burnsville boy, JT Brown. My guest today on One-on-One with Joe O'Donnell is none other than JT Brown, recently retired JT Brown, Joshua Thomas. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing good. How are you doing, Joe?
I'm doing great, thanks. 365 National Hockey League games on his resume, the Burnsville, Minnesota native. Of course, a couple of seasons with the Iowa Wild, I should say parts of 2 seasons, 68 total games with Iowa, and the newly hired Seattle Kraken TV analyst. How's that sound?
It's got a nice ring to it. It's still a little weird with the retired part. And, you know, obviously that's all I've done for pretty much my entire life has been focused on hockey, but switching out of that, but I think it has a good ring.
Now, you just celebrated a birthday, so happy belated birthday, 31 years old now. How did you celebrate it?
I went out to dinner. That was about it. Nothing too crazy. The following day I went golfing, but nothing too crazy.
Are you finding that as you now get older, the birthday celebrations are a little more tame?
Yeah, that was as soon as we had our first Lily, that's when my birthday stopped meaning as much.
What's the best birthday gift you've ever gotten?
I don't know. I've gotten quite a few. I mean, I've gotten a couple of cool pairs of shoes and stuff like that for my birthday. But a lot of times my birthday and like Father's Day kind of like go together. So I kind of get a good thing, like one really good thing.
Yeah. If you were gonna go out and party for your birthday, who are you going with? Where are you going? And you can pick anywhere.
The first thing is if I'm going to go on party on my birthday, then I need to have my mom or a babysitter for the following day.
Yeah, good call.
That is more important than just as important as the original day. Honestly, I'd probably bring everybody that was a part of my wedding and the groomsmen. And it was a good fun group. If I had to pick one place, it probably wouldn't be in Minnesota, but I don't know, maybe go to like Hawaii or something. If I could just like time and like money wasn't a thing, I haven't been to Hawaii. I'd want to go there. That'd be cool.
Yeah, if you had the means to just blow it out for a birthday celebration.
Well, it's also like, okay, well, Hawaii, how long is it going to take you to fly there just to get there for your birthday and then turn around? Like if we were able to make a vacation out of it, I feel like that's next on my vacation list. So I wouldn't mind bringing the boys and going on a nice little trip.
Without bragging too much here, give me a celebrity that's in your phone. And maybe preferably non-hockey related. I know there's got to be some in there.
A celebrity. I mean, if I had, I have a lot of gaming. Like, what about a gaming celebrity?
Yeah, give me somebody that's just famous.
Like, I don't know if he's famous. He's local. His name is Scissors.
Scissors. Well, he's got to be famous if he's going by just one name.
He's in face. He's got 881,000 followers on Twitter. So I feel like that's pretty famous. In the gaming world, he's a pretty, I guess well known. Obviously, you have to be well known to have almost a million followers.
Yeah. How good is he?
He's good. He's a very, very good content creator and plays at the game at the high level, but more focused now on the content side.
The past season you spent playing in Sweden. Let's talk for a minute about the decision to leave North America, experience a different part of the world, and play one last year.
Yeah, so obviously with the way last season like started with the AHL, there's just a lot of unknown going on. And, you know, kind of just got brought to my attention, like, would you play overseas? And I thought that they would be fun. And then it just ended up working out where it went to a good team that was – competing to win their championship. There was also, I think, eight or nine players already from North America. So it just was like an easy transition. And, you know, I just thought, who knows, what if I didn't know that this opportunity was going to come with the Kraken, but that was another stepping stone. Like, all right, I'll go play this year. And maybe, you know, I play the following year in Sweden or in the Dell or another league. Like it just kind of was a stepping stone to like opening more doors for myself. Not only like for the hockey side, you know, if something didn't work out in North America, teams over there would know I was serious about going.
How about the decision then to essentially hang them up and retire? And I'm sure that wasn't easy for you.
Yeah, it was definitely a tough decision. Like I said earlier, when we started, like hockey's pretty much been all I've done. It's been your main focus, you know, since you were a little kid, and you know, professionally since I left school in 2012. It's been a while since I've done something other than hockey, and I guess you know you're scared a little bit, but at the same time, you know, getting to go to Seattle and talk to the people there about what they want from me, how I'll fit in, and, you know, just kind of everything that the Seattle Kraken are doing, even from the diversity and inclusion standpoint, it just all seemed like it was a perfect opportunity for me to kind of leave the game of hockey, but at the same time, I'm staying in hockey, which I think is another big thing for myself. You know, obviously we all know that we have to retire at some point. We can't play forever. And, you know, this right now just ended up being a perfect storm colliding where, you know, I got to do something in Seattle that, you know, I think I can be good at. Obviously there's some work and some learning curves to go through. But again, I think the opportunity was just an amazing one.
Had you not had the Kraken opportunity present itself, what would you have looked to do? Continue to play? Were there other lines of work you'd considered post-retirement?
I think I'd continue to play. You know, obviously, you know, playing, like I said, that was kind of a stepping stone to see where would I go from there. You know, it could be same team, new league, different country. I don't know where that would have been. But again, my goal going over was to play so that I have another job for the following year, right? So I think if the opportunity didn't come, I would have tried to, you know, find somewhere else to play. But you kind of just look back, and with the opportunity, you look at, I did just turn 31. you know, the family, the kids being away, and you just make more of a family decision, and a decision that, you know, is a good one for the long term, you know, for myself and my family. And again, I still get to stay in hockey. I get to have an impact in the game, even though I'm not playing. And those things are important to me.
Let's talk about Sweden itself for a minute and the culture, the experience. Did it meet expectations? Was it different than you thought?
I loved it. I had been to Sweden. I went to Stockholm, maybe 2012 or 13. I'm trying to remember, for the World Championships, but that was just a week. So I kind of had a little glimpse of like Sweden, but you know, getting to live there, meeting the people, the team, you know, just being able to live in another country, it was awesome. Obviously with COVID, it changed a lot, especially from the game standpoint. Their fans out there are very, very passionate. And obviously we got to see some of it, but not at a full capacity where, you know, I feel like, cause I always just related to soccer and how they cheered, how the style, like, and getting to see the videos, when I signed, of like how crazy their fans would be at games and loud. And then obviously not getting to see that. That was probably the only thing that was, say, I won't say a letdown because it's COVID and we're in a pandemic, but, you know, that would have been one thing I think I wish I would have been able to be a part of. But obviously the fans were still awesome, support on Twitter, showing up when we'd win a series, they're waiting for us at the rink with flares and singing chants and the whole work. So I can only imagine, you know, how awesome it would have been at full capacity.
500 plus games or so in your career, throwing in playoffs and time in the minors. And as you look back on it now, if you were going to give a piece of advice to a rookie or a kid, you know, that's very early in his career, I know there could be a lot to unpack here, but just what would you sort of give them as far as advice and how to approach things?
You know, I think one big thing is noticing and like finding your window, because the windows are small. I think, you know, as you've seen, there's great players in the American Hockey League that, you know, maybe they're talented enough to play in the NHL, but they're not in there right now. And, you know, finding and understanding when your window is, and you have to capitalize on it. It's a tough sport, tough game. And then I'd also say, don't be afraid to, I would say, this is just from my experience. Like, I feel like I kind of changed the way I played from college to, say, being a professional because of what the team needed. And not everyone's going to be your 30 goal scorer on your team, but there are other ways for you to make it and to be successful in this game. So I just wouldn't close yourself off to being, you know, just the 30 goal scorer. There's so much more to the game. Everyone was the best person, right, on their team at some point in time. And eventually you get to a point where you kind of have to, you have to evolve. And that's for, you know, the time after practice, you're learning new things, just implementing as many things as possible into your game so that you're not necessarily a one trick pony.
Your former teammate
in Iowa, and Mike Liambus used to tell me that he was always trying to add another tool to his tool belt in the offseason, improve penalty killing, work on faceoffs, even though he wasn't a centerman, things like that. Is that essentially the gist there of, you know, just making sure you keep your options open, give the team, you know, the more resourceful you are, the better chance you have?
100%. And the more, like, kind of like Liambus said, was, you know, whether it's face-offs, different things. So if it's a face-off, well, now you can be trusted to go out there in certain situations because they know you're, if you have to take a draw, you're going to win it. Or being better in the defensive zone. There's just so many situations in hockey. And if you can check off as many boxes as possible, it's going to allow, you know, the coaching staff and the scouts and everybody else to see that you can play in multiple positions. You're not just, say, like, you know, a first line power play guy. You can play, you know, one through four, up and down, any situation, any time is more valuable.
Chatting with JT Brown, the Burnsville, Minnesota native. This is One-on-One with Joe O'Donnell. Podcast, of course, presented by Explore Minnesota. And our guest today in Joshua Thomas Brown. He is brought to you by Fleet Farm, proudly serving the Midwest since 1955. I don't know how many people know your full name. I obviously do because I book flights for the Iowa Wild. But now it's out there for, you know, the billions of listeners, I'm sure, of this podcast. I hope you don't mind.
No, it's okay. I'm pretty sure my gaming fans and friends that watch my streams have changed my Wikipedia to different names, Joshua, Joshua, Joshua Thomas. So it's been out there. It's known.
Let's stay there for a second and give some of our listeners a little insight as to how they can follow you on the gaming end of things. Because, you know, I grew up on old school Nintendo and Game Boy, N64 later into college and stuff, Genesis. So when I was growing up, but I don't know anything about Twitch and what you guys are doing these days. So for somebody that has no idea what gaming's about nowadays, walk us through how they can follow you and learn more.
Yeah, so I stream on Twitch. My username is JTBrown23, same as the rest of my socials. And right now, obviously, with the move and everything else, I haven't been streaming as often, but I usually try to get on once a week, you know, hang out, play with friends, and, you know, answer questions, hang out, chat with the fans and other people who are in the stream. So feel free to come on by, ask questions, you know, whether it's about hockey or pretty much anything. We try to keep it pretty casual and light in my stream.
So you'll see the questions in the chat, and as you're gaming, you'll answer them?
Correct. Yep. So I'll be playing the game and you can see what I see on my screen, but then there's like a little side where people can chat with each other or ask me questions. Yeah, it's pretty, you know, you got to be able to multitask.
Yeah, you certainly do. How comfortable are you, JT, with the, you know, having yourself out there like that?
I mean, I guess I'm used to it. I mean, it comes with it. I've been streaming for, I think, 4 years now. It's been a long time. So the streaming side of it's pretty easy. Just because I've been streaming for a long time, there still is malfunctions, audio, visual. It doesn't matter. Something will go wrong every stream, even if I don't touch my computer. But, you know, we try to find a way. But overall, I'd say I'm pretty comfortable. It's just become second nature, just playing video games and chatting.
Without prying too deep, what's your internet package like?
I have a gig up and a gig down. So it's...
You're flying.
Yeah. I remember when we called and I was trying to set it up and they were like, how many people do you have on your internet? And I'm like, well, it's just me and my wife. You know, she's like, how many devices? I'm like, okay, maybe my computer, the Apple TV might be playing Netflix, or the kids might be on the tablet, like no more than five at a time. And she's like, why do you need this? Like you could power so many things without having a dip. And I was like, well, I stream, so I don't want any sort of complication, even though I know it's not going to happen. So yeah, I have completely overkill internet, but got to do what you got to do, right?
Certainly. You don't want to have that buffer zone in there. How's the family these days? Update us on how Lexi's doing and the kids.
Oh, they're doing good. I think, you know, obviously Lexi right now, we all have a little bit of stress trying to find a house, move, pack, get everything done. But, you know, I think she's really excited for this new chapter and this new, you know, this new move out to Seattle and to kind of just settle in, which has been, as a hockey player and, you know, the hockey lifestyle, we haven't really been able to, as much as we come back to Minnesota in the summer, it still is only for a couple months. And then, you know, either in Florida or Syracuse or Iowa for the majority of the year. So I think, you know, kind of settling in and, you know, making a place a home is, it seems pretty, you know, appetizing as well. The kids are crazy. As I mean, I don't know if she posts them more often on her Instagram, but they're a handful. Lily just turned 4, Booker's 2.5. Just about every day is something new, Joe. Every day is another challenge and something new, but you love it.
I wish you could see the smile on my face as you're saying those words, my friend. I know all too well about the daily ups and downs. And yeah, and like you said, it's really no day's the same, especially when you got little ones running around. So glad to hear they're doing well. I wanted to ask you a little bit about the hiring process with the Kraken, what that was like for you. Was it an intense interview process? I mean, as a hockey player the last decade, you know, you don't go through things like this. So what was that like?
Yeah, it was weird. Obviously, you know, first, you know, just communications back and forth, obviously, you know, making sure this was something I wanted to do and that it was a big decision. Like, they realized it's a big decision for me to stop playing. So to make sure I had that, it was something that I truly wanted, right? Because stopping playing is a big decision. But, you know, once we kind of got through that, we did a interview or mock game call where I got to call a game with John or a period of the game with John just for, you know, so they could record it and show it. But I'm not gonna lie, I was a little nervous because, again, like you said, like I haven't had to do a real interview. So like that was like the first interview process. So I feel like right away I was a little bit nervous, but I feel like as the game kind of went on, I settled in and, you know, having a guy like John, I'll say walk you through or, you know, set you up for different parts of the game. It definitely helped having a guy like that. He's one of the best in the business, if not the best. So, you know, having a guy or working with a guy like that made it a lot easier. And I thought it went well, and apparently they thought it went well too, because here we are, you know, today.
Hockey tryouts, you lace them up, and whether you know one player, 10 players, the coaches well, manage it well, like, you know what you got to do. You go on the ice, you follow the drills, and you bust your, you know what. So definitely a way different situation for you, I'm sure. Did you fly out for the demo you guys did together? Was it remote? How'd that work?
It was remote. So it's obviously still, again, it's different calling a game, you know, just looking at it on your TV screen versus being in the building. And I'm sure it's going to be different when you have the atmosphere and you can feel the game versus just seeing it too. So I'm looking forward to that new aspect of, you know, learning on the job. But again, it was remote. So it was a little bit different, you know, obviously with me being in Sweden and then COVID and all the different things that are going on, you have to make do.
John Forslund is their play-by-play announcer. He was recently hired. You and I were talking before we started. I think he's, you know, outside of Doc Emrick, who just retired after the bubble. I think he's one of the best, if not the best. You alluded to that as well. I'm sure that relationship will foster itself and you guys will get more comfortable and then it'll be a home run from there. But what do you know about this opportunity from just what broadcasters go through day to day? I mean, you saw me on the bus rides, but, you know, it's a little different at the NHL level.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing is being prepared and obviously that comes with knowing players. Obviously, everyone has a different way of organizing, you know, different teams and different books. But I think the more you prepare, you know, prior to the game, it will become second knowledge of what we're talking about. I feel like I can talk about the X's and O's easily. I've been doing that for how long, right? But, you know, getting to know the insides about every player and who's the new guy coming up. I think, you know, those are the preparation parts that are going to be very important and, you know, key for me going forward to learn and to continue to practice those so that I am ready, because those little inside stories that you know about these players, you know, or that you gain, whether it's reading articles or whatnot, is going to be what, you know, kind of helps propel you when you're doing the broadcast.
Well said. I'm sure part of the reason the Kraken were interested in your answers like that. You got a knack for it already, Brownie. Yeah. Did you have an interest in broadcasting? I mean, before we started today, I said to you, like, you were around the Wild for, you know, almost a full season when it comes down to breaking down the games, parts of 2 years. You know, unfortunately for me, you were never hurt and could have joined the broadcast booth at any point. Good thing for you. Not good for me. I would have loved to have had you. But have you had an interest? I mean, did you think at any point while you were playing this would be a path for you going the broadcast route?
You know, as we were playing, I've been asked this, and I just kind of think, like, when I was playing, I was just focused on playing and the next thing, and never really took too much to look at what I would do after. But I think I've done a lot of things that will help me, like, move into broadcasting. I didn't go to school for broadcast journalism or anything else. So I don't know if I could say, like, I always wanted to, but the more I look at it, and one thing would be streaming and being comfortable in front of the camera back and forth, knowing the game. I just think that it's a good opportunity, and it's something that with the right work, I'll be good at. And then on top of that, I get to kind of wear two hats, Joe. I get to be on the, you know, the TV analyst, but I also get to be in the community and being a part of, you know, the diversity inclusion efforts out in Seattle. So I think that, like, diversity and inclusion would have been another route I could have gone with a team, but this allows me to do, you know, multiple things at once.
The Kraken are a very forward-thinking organization from everything I've read, their hiring processes so far. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, I definitely think that's a fair statement. And, you know, for me, that's important. I feel like, you know, their core values align, and, you know, it's just something I want to be a part of, you know, especially since we're starting from the ground up. You know, you get to leave a lasting footprint, you know, with this organization. And, you know, that's something I'm really looking forward to.
Do you know what an IFB is?
An IFB?
Yeah, that's a TV term.
Nope. Are you gonna tell me?
I am. So they give, well, listen, I'm, after all these years, I don't do that much TV, so I still get a little, I don't want to say rattled by it, but I'm probably not as comfortable as some are. But basically, it's the earpiece that the TV truck will talk to you. So in a perfect world, when everybody's traveling and whatnot, and you're doing the broadcast, you know, the producer, the director could come into your ear and say, like, hey, we're going to show another angle of that save by the Kraken goaltender. So it can throw people for a loop when you first start broadcasting, when somebody's talking to you and either you're talking or, you know, you're jotting down some notes and you might hear, like, hey guys, you know, coming back from break in 10, or, you know, you guys
need
to
wrap it up.
Left.
You need to stop talking, JT. We need to go to commercial.
See, you got it already, my friend. You got it already.
So that's the earpiece.
It's
going to be weird. It'll be weird for sure. I can already imagine, like, trying. Well, I just, when you were just saying that, I was like envisioning you talking to me right now. But then, like, what if I had to have another conversation on the side? I would probably. So that might take a little time. But again, that's why, you know, we're moving out there early next month. And, you know, that's when a lot of the hard work starts, you know, to be ready and prepared for the season.
What have they told you about some of the things they'd like you to do in the community?
Obviously, a lot of it is dependent upon, you know, the schedule, when we're home, and, you know, just trying to be as much involved as possible. I mean, I've already had some talks with Kyle Boyd, who is obviously, he's out there doing a lot of their, I'm pretty sure he's leader of their diversity and inclusion stuff, working with Learn to Play and everything else that has to be out there. But again, I think we're trying to, one, obviously I have to focus on getting comfortable under the mic and in front of the TV, and any opportunity we can, whether that's appearances, helping out with Learn to Play programs, pretty much everything I'm game for.
The activism part that you have really taken a large role in recently because of everything that's gone on, I'm sure a lot of it's come natural for you. Where are you, I guess, most proud of the areas you've been able to help and the things you've done so far, you know, and not so much just even this last 18 months, but even previous to that, your time in Tampa Bay, raising your fist during the anthem, and all the things that you've seen over your career?
I'd just say most proud of, you know, being a part of, you know, I guess pushing in the envelope in a different direction in hockey that we haven't seen. I think if you look at, you know, where we were 4 or 5 years ago to where we are now, and the different committees even that the NHL has created, and some of them I'm on, you know, I just think that we've done a lot of good work, you know, over these last few years. We obviously have more work to do, but the progression and where we've, you know, from where I guess when I started in the league to where I've ended in the league, you know, I've seen positive change. And, you know, that's something that, you know, I'm definitely proud of, you know, being a part of that.
I know it's small steps and I know there's a long way to go. And I think you would echo those sentiments, but as you see the game continue to grow and evolve and become more inclusive and, you know, more open-minded, what is next? Where, you know, where are some areas you still think that the sport of hockey, because society's got its own thing going on, but the sport of hockey, where would you like to see it go next?
I mean, I think a big area to focus on still is the youth hockey. And that word you said, it's like short steps, but in the long term, that will change, you know, hockey going further, these young kids, and making sure that they understand, you know, what's accepted and what's not, you know, within the hockey world, and sort of changing some of the older school, you know, hockey stereotypes and just the way the game, I guess, is viewed. And I think a lot of that starts with, you know, our youth and the younger generations.
When you look back to your days, even prior to college, youth hockey in Minnesota, minor hockey, now that you look back on it, do you see things that maybe as a kid you didn't realize that were either stereotypical or prejudicial or just not the right way to operate?
I mean, I think if you look back, there's always in certain instances and different things that, you know, you have, but again, that's what helps push you forward. I think everyone, obviously I was raised different than, you know, somebody who lived a few streets down from me, and we all have our different ways. And I think, again, you just got to focus on, you know, making sure that the youth knows the right way. Sometimes the parents are harder to change their minds and the way of thinking, but the kids, you know, they're an open book. They're ready to learn.
Very well said. Have you been watching much of the Stanley Cup playoffs, Brownie?
I have. I've been watching every game.
And the Tampa Bay Lightning, your former squad, one win away from back-to-back Stanley Cups, which would be very unprecedented due to the condensed schedule. It'd be two cups in less than a calendar year. First one's in a bubble. This one feels a bit more normal. What have you thought of Tampa Bay's run so far?
I thought they're playing very well. They have a really good team. I mean, you look up and down the roster from goalie, from Vazzy and goal all the way up to, you know, Kucherov, Point, Stamkos, like the list just goes on and on. And I picked them to win. I'm sure a lot of people did too. I picked them in six, but after the first few games, I kind of was questioning my decision. You know, obviously Montreal has had a very good run to get here as well. And I felt like I had written them off, just like most of the media had for the first few rounds. So I was like, all right, well, they might be able to steal two. So I'm going to still stick with my original that they're going to steal one more and then it'll be done.
What did you like most about your time in Tampa Bay?
I mean, obviously it was the first NHL team I played for. You can't beat the weather. That's one of the first things. But again, I think just playing for Coach Cooper and a lot of the guys that I played with, a lot of them are still there. But, you know, most of the players through my time there had come from, you know, or had played with them in Syracuse in the AHL. So there was kind of this like long, I don't know, just the history of playing with those guys and you know, those friendships, you know, that'll last forever. I think, you know, it's just something special that in professional sports, it's hard because at the end of the day, it is a business. People are trying to win. So to see that many players, you know, kind of come up through the farm system and still playing and being successful, it's definitely, it was special to play there.
How much does it help for guys to come up together, to toil in the minors, to put in those hours, then get rewarded and learn how to win together?
Yeah, it's definitely important. I think, you know, just from my experience, one, not only just playing that long with somebody, you get to know their tendencies, but also, you know, it's somebody that, you know, these kids are young, may or may not have families. You have these friendships, you know, and players and friends that you can lean on that you've you know, been in the trenches with, you know, whether it's in the American League or you've been playing a long time in the NHL, you have these bonds and people that you can lean on, you know, so when they're successful, you're successful. And it's honestly, it's cool when it does happen. Cause like I said, it the game is a business. There's trades, there's injuries, there's just things that happen that are a lot of times out of your control. So, you know, for a group of players to play together in the minor leagues for years and then, you know, make their way up and still be playing together, it's pretty cool. And like I said, it doesn't always happen that way.
A minute ago, you mentioned Steven Stamkos. How would you describe him?
I think he's a great guy. Obviously we know his shooting ability and his on ice performances that, that we see, you know, night in, night out. But, you know, I think he's a good guy, great, a good captain for the team. And, I enjoyed, you know, being around him.
Anybody else that you came up with that I don't want to say pleasantly surprised by, but that, you know, when you watch and you see the success they're having right now, that you are certainly happy for not only the team success, but the individual success with Tampa?
I mean, would be Palat. I think, you know, just one, I really enjoyed it. I think he's a good guy, good buddy. But just the way he plays, it's hard. There's nothing, I would say nothing crazy flashy when you consider, you know, playing with a guy like Kucherov, who is super flashy, but you know, the amount of success that he has and the hard work, you know, sometimes may even be overshadowed by, some of the other superstars they have on their team. And, you know, to see him doing well playing, with Point and Kuch, it's been good.
How about Tyler Johnson?
Yeah, Tyler, I mean, I think you look at a situation where he's flourished right now in a different role than what maybe he wanted, and kind of the adversity even last year of what he went through with going on waivers and then, you know, because I was there playing second line and now playing on the fourth line. But, you know, that just shows what type of person he is, and it's continuing to work hard and play hard, and he's doing a very good job at.
Just want to spend a minute talking about your time with the Iowa Wild, since a lot of our listeners probably are Wild season ticket holders and Wild fans, of course. What'd you think of Des Moines now that that's in the rearview mirror?
I love Des Moines. I had a good time, the good team as well. Obviously, things were cut short, especially, you know, I thought we had a good team. We were trying to track down Milwaukee, as Tim would say.
Yep.
But no, I definitely enjoyed my time in Iowa, and it was great. Obviously, fans are very passionate and loved love playing at the home rink.
Did you get, I don't want to say an appreciation for the AHL, but seeing Iowa's travel there for a couple of years, and you and I would banter back and forth on this. Mm-hmm. I always appreciated how you approach things. You were never, you know, a pain in my butt. You would just kind of be like, why are we doing this? Why would we bus here? Why didn't we fly there? And I always liked how you did approach things. It was very passive aggressive, I guess would be a good way to put it.
Got the point across without actually saying exactly the points that I was trying to do.
Yes,
but
it's some of your teammates would, yes. But did you, you know, after spending hours on the bus and, you know, was there a little bit more maybe appreciation for that part of the game, for the guys that continue to play into their late 30s and go through that regimen every day?
Of course. I mean, it's harder, I think, at times to play in the American Hockey League just because of the travel, and you're not, you know, hopping on the jet like you would in the NHL and just flying to the next city. You have to stay overnight and catch the early flight, or you're busing for long periods of time. So you definitely put an appreciation to it, and you realize how hard and how much effort people put into, you know, taking care of their bodies. But again, I think even from my standpoint, when I played in Syracuse, we would talk all about it. Like, when you're in the East, the travel's pretty easy. You know, it's a couple hours to most of the games. You're not really doing too many flights. So even that was an adjustment. So it was almost like the first time going through it again.
What was your favorite bus ride snack?
Swedish fish and trolley worms, 100%, always. You know I had the snacks.
I know. I knew that'd be an easy answer for you. There was never a bus trip where you didn't bring your own. No matter what was on there for the players and the staff, JT Brown always had his own snacks.
I mean, we all know, like, you can't have Aji bringing in those type of candy and those snacks. Like, he has to maintain some sort of healthy vibe, right? Like, So I wouldn't give him any crap, and I would just bring my own. I know he's got a job, and it wouldn't look very good if he brought those kind of snacks on the bus. So I took it upon myself to do it.
Again, a very professional approach to handling a situation that wasn't ideal for you. Strength coach wants to provide protein bars. That's great. I'm going to bring my Swedish fish on the side.
Just hide them in my – I had a whole bag full, and if people wanted something, they knew where to come.
I love it. And I certainly miss not having them on the bus this past year, if I'm going to be honest. Brownie, before we depart, and again, I really appreciate your time and congrats on the new gig with the Kraken. Again, happy belated birthday to you. I know that the passing of Tom Curvers hit a lot of the state of hockey hard. He was a former Duluth Bulldog like yourself. I caught some of the live stream of his memorial service, and if I'm not mistaken, you were in attendance. Any stories, thoughts on the passing of Tom Curvers?
We kind of talk even with some of my agents and the stories of bringing, like, I just look at my career and don't know where I'd be without Tom. You know, he was one of my biggest allies, and in my hockey career, even when I was at Duluth and, you know, going to Tampa and then bringing me back to Minnesota. So I'm just thankful not only for, you know, the professional side and, you know, where the teams that I've gotten to that, you know, he was a part of and bringing me along with him, but, you know, getting to know him personally outside the rink and, you know, getting to see both sides and, you know, it was just special. And, you know, I consider myself lucky to have met Tom and to, that just seems weird to say, cause I always would say TK,
yeah.
But, it just feels, you know, you feel incredibly lucky to have met him.
Obviously, playing in Minnesota was a great thrill for you. You and I have glossed over that and talked about in previous interviews. What memorabilia do you have still in your house from the teams you played for, either Anaheim, Tampa, Minnesota? You have a jersey from each team. What do you have laying around?
I have a jersey from each team. I got a helmet from every team. I don't know. Maybe I should probably shouldn't have said that. They might be asking for their helmets back. No, that's the main thing. I think obviously now that I'm done, I made sure obviously I have a jersey from everyone and want to get, you know, stuff like that framed and put in my gaming office whenever I get a chance. So yeah, that was the main thing. I just made sure I had a jersey from everywhere.
Well, it was a great career. Congratulations on all the success and the new job with the Seattle Kraken as your television analyst. I'll be looking forward to catching games with you and John Forslund on the call in October. And as always, really appreciate your time. And again, thanks for doing this, JT, and really all the work you're doing for growing the game of hockey. It's really special, and I'm glad to have gotten to know you over the years.
Oh, thanks, Joe.
Really enjoyed that conversation with JT Brown. My thanks again to him for joining me here on One-on-One with Joe O'Donnell. Hope you enjoyed that conversation as well. Again, thanks for all the support. Don't forget to subscribe, to like, to follow, and refer this podcast to your friends. The more the merrier. Appreciate it. And I hope everybody is enjoying the summer so far in Des Moines or wherever you may be listening. Hope to get you another episode soon. Got some great guests coming down the pipeline. Again, till next time, we'll stow the trade tables in the upright lock position. This podcast is coming in for an ending. Expansion draft coming up. NHL entry draft coming up. The Tampa Bay Lightning are your Stanley Cup champs for the second straight year. We'll have more hockey content for you coming down the line. Until next time, Joe O'Donnell saying thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you.